White, Wellington, New Zealand, July 17, 1893. Dear son Willie, whenever I learn that a boat is going to Sydney, I improve the opportunity to send you a few lines, knowing that suspense is not pleasant. July 5th. I had my teeth extracted, and you may be assured that I have appreciated this place of retirement. My mouth has been so sore I could not talk much, if any, it hurt my mouth. But Sister Caro thought in 12 days I could talk without feeling the pain. It is so. I have been able to converse quite well for 1 week. I cannot use my gums to masticate any food, but I get along nicely and feel no want of nourishment. It has been fully as severe a process after the extraction of the teeth as I expected. I have had to keep using lotions and powder to keep these lacerated cavities cleansed and my mouth sweet. I am glad I am just where I am. We have much rain, considerable wind, and only 1 and sometimes 2 days of very beautiful weather. I have not dared to ride out, yet it has been so I could not ride because of rain. Sabbath was a beautiful day. Friday was a very nice day. Sunday stormy. This morning is cloudy. I know not what it will be. This last storm was on my side of the house. Generally, it is on the opposite side. I have slept well every night. The pain has nearly left my mouth. I am enjoying very good health, much better than when you left, and for a few weeks after you left. I have not had, since my operation, and some little time before, any of those sinking feelings and exhausted prostration of feelings. I think it is wonderful. I praise the Lord for His goodness and mercy and tender loving care of me. Oh, He is better to me than my fears. In this unsettled weather, I would not have dared to travel and go to new places. My room was so cold, with wind circulating in the stairway and coming in at the crevices of the door. I was constantly getting stiff, rheumatic shoulders. But Sister Tuxford was equal to the emergency. She had heavy curtains. She put them in the hall, the full length of my door, and all this was remedied. It has been a complete success. Sister Caro and Dr. Caro have complained some that I was kept here, thought I might do so much more good in Napier, and yet they all admit it is damp, wet, unpleasant weather there nearly all the time. Sister Caro, when she saw how comfortably I was fixed, said I was in the best place I could be in this winter. And you may be sure I am not indolent. I find so much writing pressing me. I have commenced at the early hour of 3 a.m., but I am now trying not to write before 4 o'clock a.m. If I can possibly get over till 5 or 6, it would please me better. I have been writing to Christie, who is in Napier, stopping at Sister Carlton's, Sister Tuxford's mother. She has, so, wound herself up in his sympathies and affections that she thinks he is ill-used and a martyr. She pounces out upon her daughter even. But this is a secret communication from Sister Reed, so it should not go further. Last Friday, I sent a letter of 6 pages letter paper to Elder Wilson and cautioned him to manage discreetly and see the young man alone. He thinks he is unjustly used because he is not trusted with the canvassing or some other branch of the work. He takes right hold and will help Sister Carlton do her work and wash dishes, wash floors, etc. Now she will, Sister Tuxford fears, let him have money. But I think that what I have written in reference to the qualifications of canvassers, or the ones who shall have any connection with the work, will stop this at once. I am sure he has not overcome his inclinations to dishonesty. I wish he could be connected with some of our people who have authority and influence, to do him good. I pity the young man. He has gone wrong and will go wrong continually if he is not yoked up with stable, firm-principled young men, or old, who can be constantly educating him in the right direction. You will know how young men have been sent out without education, without a model or system to work from correct principles. I do know this young man has most excellent traits of character, but he has failings which are constantly like the dead fly in the ointment. It spoils the whole. Please think of this case, for if he is left to himself, ruin will be his certain lot, and I want that special efforts should be made to save him. Will it be best to try to connect him with someone who will be to him a constant balance and an angel of mercy? I will write again when I hear more in regard to his case. What will he do under the influence of the letter I have sent him, not to go into his hands, but to be read to him by Brother Wilson, and see if he has any real sense of what sin is? Brother Wilson has taken a house in Hastings, and when the sun shines, they have it. In about 6 weeks or 2 months, I go to Napier for my teeth. I thought I would go to Brother Wilson's and board with them. What think you of this arrangement? American mail came last Sabbath. Not many letters for me. One from Elder Olson, which I will send you, and that is about all. One letter from Elder Daniels I will send. He seems to write well, and I shall respond in next mail as though I did receive his confession. Nothing from Edson or Emma in this mail. If you can comply with Edson's request without imperiling my future business, do so. I leave the matter with you. The note Brother Haskell said he would send has come. Sister B said he was so hurried at the last, the note was left in the drawer, and she sent it to me. $225, to be used in the cause where most needed. Let us be careful where we appropriate it. $25 came from other parties in letter orders, so that makes $250. A receipt for the fruit has come. It was sent in the box with the typewriter. They sent a Denison machine, carbons, and the fruit in a box together. So we will get it in 1 week from today, Sister Tuxford says. This came in a letter to you which we will mail to you to Sydney. Now, seeing the fruit is sent to us, of course this will save the expense of your taking fruit all this distance. This fruit was sent direct, not to be halted at Auckland and transferred. They do not mention sending any raisins or dried apples. We bought some dried apples, only 1 pound, and paid the sum of 20 cents a pound. So you see, dried fruit is precious, even dried apples. I shall let Brother Israel have some fruit. They are so kind to us in every respect. A few dried apples and raisins will complete our complement of fruit to the full. The receipt calls for 15 pounds of apricots, 15 pounds of peaches, and about the same in French prunes. So you see, we have no need of transporting fruit and paying duty on it. I am so glad of this. Fruit is very high here, especially green apples and all kinds of dried fruit. But they say all fruit is nearly double in Napier, Farmington, and such places. Elder Israel left today to visit Blenheim and several places. He is not yet free from the rheumatism, but he has straightened up considerably. He has been very busy at work, writing. An inventory was taken of stock of books in the office. Brother Mountain was here all day Sunday and Monday 1 week ago. He came Monday because it rained. That man is a jewel, I believe. Sister Tuxford worked hard. The school has been closed 2 weeks for vacation, but there are other reasons. Measles are all through the school. The grocer directly across the road has a 3-year-old child in a perilous condition, little hope of its life. In the other part of the house, 3 children are down with measles. Emily is having a pretty close call, but we hope she will escape. We do not wish the poor child, in addition to all her other business cares, to have the measles. Sister Brown is still at home. We have fears to have her come and do the work here while the weather continues so rough and cold. It was very chilly last night. It is now 7 o'clock a.m., and it reveals a cloudy day and rainy. But I have a good fire in my room. Whenever I go below, in the office is a good fire, and we are comfortable. I have not passed a more pleasant winter in years. We have the sunshine of the presence of the Son of Righteousness within our dwelling. My peace rests here. Should I have attempted to travel this winter, I think I should have made a mistake. I fully believe I am in the very place the Lord would have me, and with this assurance there is no restlessness, no uneasiness. I am grateful to the Lord every day for His wonderful love and care and mercy to me. I want much to accomplish more on the life of Christ. Now the mail is gone, I am free to write and shall make the most of my time. I see in the receipt which I have just read, 15 pounds of dried peaches, 15 pounds of apricots, and 25 pounds of French prunes. Should you bring some dried apples and raisins, that would be all we would have any use for. I was very sorry to hear that you were so disagreeably affected with the Melbourne climate. When you have stayed as long as duty requires, we will be very happy to have you with us again. I have not heard a mention of Caldwell until yesterday. Elder Israel received a letter from Mary, in which she mentioned sitting at the table with Caldwell, thus the name read. Is he in the school? I wish we could hear oftener from Melbourne. I might employ all my time answering letters. I wanted to answer the one from Brother Falkhead, but I dare not cut up my time unnecessarily. I thought you could answer it. You were there in person and could talk with him and learn his purposes, and then could know what counsel to give him. Take good care of your health. Keep your feet warm. Trust fully in God, and He will work for us in His own way and in His own time. The Lord is never in a hurry, but I think we get in haste sometimes. I received good letters from Elder Daniels and his wife. I have not answered them, and therefore told them I thank them for the letters. I call my health better than it has been any time since some time before leaving America. This letter I must get in this forenoon, about 12 o'clock. I had a letter from Frank Belden, a sort of complaining letter. I think I will not send it. He is complaining of the way the office has used him. I could but think he was receiving or reaping that which he has sown. This letter came in the last month's mail. I think if he were back in the office, he would be glad of the position. He makes decided protests against Henry Kellogg's coming back to the office, the same class of objections that ever has been raised. One objection is, he was no printer. I think he considers if Henry Kellogg is there, he is shut out for certain. Well, I will send you the letter. It certainly looks rather objectionable to have Henry Kellogg out in association with unbelievers so long, and receiving the mold which he must necessarily have, that he has not grown in spiritual understanding and in growth of grace and religious experience. And yet I cannot see but in many respects he will fill the position for the office better than the two men, Frank and Eldridge, have done. In some lines he has far more skill and understanding. In some things he will be able to understand the value of those who have been connected with the work from the beginning. These men had no respect for those who had brought up the institution to its present growth in spiritual efficiency. I am sorry you can count so little on Henry Kellogg. I shall write to him to go in next American mail. As far as spirituality is concerned, Eldridge and Frank were, neither of them, prepared to be a strength spiritually. I will send you a copies of the letters to Frank Belden and to Edson White, which I have written to them. Write me a few lines, if no more, every boat that comes, as I do to you. Give my love to Brother and Sister Daniels, Brother and Sister Hare, Brother and Sister Steed, and Brother and Sister Reiki and Sister Ingalls. I should be glad to see her and welcome her to this country. In much love, Mother.